here we have the mitzvah binya beis hamikdash. I remember in 1967, right after Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim. So they were tumbling at that time, we should build a beis hamikdash, make a mizbech, and start bringing karbanas, because the Har HaBayis is under our control. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik said at that time that the pasuk says in this week's Sedra that when it will be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael and they won't be afraid of their enemies at all, then the next pasuk, that's the last pasuk in the first aliyah, then Sheni begins, you should build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the second pair quotes this pasuk, to indicate the Gimel Mitzvah Nitztava Yisrael b'chnisasim l'aretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. First mitzvah is to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. L'amad l'hamelech. Second mitzvah is... Second mitzvah is l'hachriz arash al amalek, to wipe out amalek. And the third mitzvah has to be fulfilled in this order is livnes l'hambeis abchira. So the Gemara says you only have the obligation to build a Beis HaBchira when it's first v'hinich lachem mikol levech misavi ba'aretz v'yishavtem betach, when it's peaceful. They said even after the war, even after they were successful, it wasn't yet v'hinich lachem mikol levech misavi. He said he didn't think there was a chiyuv to build a Beis HaMikdash even if they would be successful in doing so. There was no chiyuv. In the parasha we have the institution of Besar Taiva. Besar Taiva means Behemas Chulin, the animals that we shech today. The Pasuk uses that Pasuk. The Pasuk uses that terminology, that verb. When we live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have an interest in eating flesh, won't be able to be makor karbonis. In the Midbar, they were able to be makor karbonis. Everybody was nearby. Kisava napshecha lechol basa, b'chalavas napshecha tizbach ve'achalta. So on the first page in Yerideya, it starts with Hilcha Shchita. So they quote the comment from the Gemara in this Pasuk. Mizavachta kasher tzivi sicha melamech in the Tava Moshe, which Rabbeinu was given Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara understands that the verb litzavos tzivi sicha has the connotation of Torah Shebal Peh. So the Gemara says there are chumash hilcha shchita. There are five special details hilcha shchita. None of it appears in chumash, and the din of ruba kekula that you don't have to shech the whole kan and the whole beishet is also halacha Moshe Misinai. And all of this is alluded to by the phrase in the pasuk, "Vizavachta kasher tzivisich," as I have commanded you. The Gemara understands that the verb, the usage of the verb, kasher tzivisich, is a reference to the Torah Shebal Peh. Here in Parshas Matos, pasuk says, "Bnei Yisrael were instructed to wage war against Midian." Bnei Yisrael meis haMidyanim. And they waged the war. So the pasuk says, "Vayitzbu al Midyan kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe." What does it mean, Kasha Tzivas Moshe? So I thought Pashup Shat means that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should wage war against Midyan. So they wage war as instructed. The Rambam quotes a Sifrei on this Pasuk. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, Kasha Tziva is a reference to a Torah Shebal Peh that's not mentioned in the Chumash. Kasha Tziva means that when you wage war against the enemy, you're not allowed to surround them on all four sides. As you surround them on all four sides, then they're going to realize that they're in Gehakta Tzaris, and then there won't be any place to run away. So then they're going to fight back with a big Zam. You should always leave one route for them to run away. This is even a Melachemes Mitzvah. Whenever you wage Melchama, you have to leave one open Ruach, they should be able to leave. So the Rambam quotes from this phrase, this is understood by the phrase, Vayitzbu al Midyan, they waged war, they waged battle according to the instructions of Torah Shebal Peh that doesn't appear at all in the Chumash. Kasher Tzivas Emes Moshe, to leave one Ruach open. The Rambam in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah starts off with the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Alei HaHora, Ve'etan Luchas Luchas Habris HaTorah VaHamitzvah SheKasavti Elohai Roisam. So the Gemara says, "Alei alei ha'har, climb up to Har Sinai. I will give you the Luchas Habris, Aseres Hadibras. HaTorah is the rest of Torah Shabbat Shebichsav. The HaMitzvah has the connotation of Torah Shabbat Peh. Asher Kasavti refers to Nevi'im Uksuvim. The Gemara says that all of the ideas that appear in Nevi'im Uksuvim were all told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher Kasafti. And the Horosam refers to the Mishnayis, to all the Psokim of the Torah Shemalpeh. So the Gemara understood the word. The Rambam writes that the whole Mishnah Torah is going to give over the whole Torah Shemalpeh. And that's understood from the phrase, HaTorah B'HaMitzvah. Torah means Torah Shebichsav. Mitzvah means Torah Shebalpeh. So that's how the Gemara read this Pasuk also. The Zavachta Kasher Tzivisich is a reference to all of the halachas L'Moshe Mesinai in connection with Hilchos Shechita. The Pasuk in today's Sedra speaks about building the Beis HaMikdosh in a specific location. HaMakam Mishivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtech Melosu Meshmoisham. What is the connotation of Makam Shiv Hashem Mikol Shivtechem? So the Gemara understands that it should belong to all of the Shvatim. It's always divided amongst all the Shvatim, Chelkos Shel Reuven, Chelkos Shel Shimon, Chelkos Shel Yisachar, and the place where the Beis Hamikdash is built should belong to all of the Shvatim. How did it belong to all of the Shvatim? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. What the historical machlokes and halachic machlokes? When Yeshua ben Nun divided the land, what did he do with Yerushalayim? So the accepted opinion is that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu. When he walked around the borders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Kum misalch baratz l'orkel l'rachbo, kilechua etenenu." So the Gemara understands that his walking around constituted a kinyan chazaka, and he acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu died and went birusha to Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu died, went birusha to Yankee. Yankee Avinu died, went birusha to the Shvatim. Eretz Yisrael Yerusha Mi'avaseinim and Ma'is Avraham Avinu. Gemara says it was a real din of Yerusha. So what do you do when you have Yerusha? So it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. You have to divide. It belongs to the estate. That's called Tfusas Habayis. It belongs to the estate. One gear, the Galatiana gear says Tfusas Habayis. The Mishnah, there are two gears. Tfusas Habayis and Tfusas Habayis. So the Galatiana pronounce every U as an A. So they use Tfusas Habayis. Two gears is in the Mishnah. So when they divided Eretz Yisrael, so the accepted opinion is that they knew from day number one, when Yeshua ben Nun was doing the Chalukah, at the end of the 7 years of conquering, it says in Tanakh, it says in Yeshua took 7 years to conquer all the Lamed Aleph Malachim. And then the Gemara says, we have an oral tradition that it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. So when they divided Eretz Yisrael, they left out Yerushalayim because they knew from the very outset, Yerushalayim is going to be the makam of the Beis HaMikdash, and it has to be a makam Mishiv HaShem Nikol Shivtechem. So if you're going to divide it, part is going to belong to one Shevet, part is going to belong to the other Shevet. So the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built on a makam Nikol Shivtechem. Nikol Shivtechem means that Yerushalayim is never divided. That's the accepted opinion. The other Chachamim, the other Shita in the Gemara, it's in Bava Kamma, the end of Perek Merubah. The other Shita in the Tanaim is no. Everything was divided. Yerushalayim was half Bechelka Shal Yehuda and half Bechelka Shal Binyamin. And then David HaMelech collected money because David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. He collected money from all of the Shvatim and they bought up the Makam HaMikdash from Yehuda and from Binyamin. Part of it was Yehuda, part of it was Binyamin. They bought it up. But the accepted opinion is not so. Not that they first divided and then they bought it up. That all of Yerushalayim is, from the very outset, was Lenin's Chalkal Shvat. So the Gemara there says, at the end of Perek Merubah, we have certain detailed halachas regarding Yerushalayim, because of the fact that it was never divided amongst the Shvatim, it belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. So one of the halachas is in today's Sedra, the din of Ir HaNidachas. Ir HaNidachas only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutz Lortz, and it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Only applies if the city was divided, l'shvatim. The city belongs to some shevet or another. Yerushalayim could ever become an ir hanidachas because it didn't belong to any shevet. It was lost in the schalka l'shvatim. Likewise, the Gemara points out the pasuk, the Chumash has later the institution of. If you find someone murdered in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know who the murderer is, another Mehiko, so then you have to bring an Egla Rufo. A very strange mitzvah. The Rambam and the Maran Levuchim says it's a strange mitzvah to bring attention, the public should pay attention to what happened over here, and someone should come up with information to tell the police, to some leads, to find the murderer. The idea behind the mitzvah is to make a whole tararam, you should be able to find out who the murderer was. So the pasuk says also, you should measure to the cities of Shesvivas Acholo. It says over there, if you find someone murdered in between the cities in Eretz Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the various Shvatim. So the Gemara says, when you measure to the closest cities, you discount Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is Lanes Chalka L'Shvatim, so it can never bring an Egla Arufim. The Gemara has several other dinim. There's no din of Tumas Tzaraz Batim in Yerushalayim, because the Pasuk there in Parshas Tazri also, Parshas Metzorah, also talks about if you have Tzaraz Batim in a city, in a house in a city, which was the Nischalka L'Shvatim. So Yerushalayim has special dinim. The problem is, the Gemara says, therefore, if someone has a home in the Ir Atika and he wants to rent it out, he has no right to charge rent. The Gemara says, when the Olam Golem came and they would stay in people's homes, so they had no right to charge any rent because the house didn't belong. It was Lon Nischalka L'Shvatim. The house didn't belong to them. So how did anybody have a house in the old city? You can't sell a house, you can't sell property in the old city. It doesn't belong to you in the first place. Anything in the old city doesn't belong. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. So apparently you get the impression, Kol HaKodim Zocha, whoever comes first and moves into the house has a right to live there. No one else has a right to kick him out. But he has no right to sell it to someone else because it never belonged to him in the first place. It's an interesting din.
I can tell that to my landlord.
Yeah. You pay good money there.
Do they have a special heter for renting in the United Kingdom? Do they have special heteris services too?
I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. They're not allowed to charge rent. Not allowed to charge any rent.
Well, under the building, old city.
The what?
For the car or for the building?
For renting the spot. The Gemara says, what if I rent you the right to sleep in my bed? So that's a shaila. Do I have the right to charge you? No,
the
building.
The house itself, the building.
The air conditioner.
Okay, the air conditioner you have a right to charge for. But the Tanoim have a machlekes, can I even charge you for sleeping on my bed? Because the bed is sitting on the ground. And the ground you have no right to. But the bed wouldn't be there if not for the fact that there's a floor. So if the floor doesn't belong to you.
But the floor is above the ground.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a good problem. It's a good issue. I don't know. Anyway, that's how we pass.
I can
rent the
house and not pay rent.
Yes.
And they bring me to court and I tell them.
It's halacha, it's a gemara.
You want me to not allow the halacha?
Yeah.
The Gemara says, though, that the Mizbeach and the Bayis Sheni was on the floor, on the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, were 32 amas by 32 amas. It was a square. And then as he went up, it indented a little bit. It became 30 by 30. Then it went up, it became 28 by 28. When it reached the top, it was 28 by 28. So the Gemara says the square on the floor was cement. They poured in cement. Threw in pebbles and stones, and they poured cement to make it a perfect square. The Mizbeach has to be square, Ravua. If you ruin the square, like Tfilin, has to be Ravua, so this, the Mizbeach has to be Ravua also. So the... the Gemara says that the square on the floor was not a perfect 32 by 32. If you look straight ahead, in Beis HaMikdash, you're looking towards the west. So this corner was missing. There was a Yisoid here that stuck out an Amma, and here it stuck out an Amma. Here was 32, 32. It went a little bit, here went one Amma, and the rest of the 31 Ammas was missing on the floor. It was only, here was 30 by 30, this is only 30. So the Gemara says, why was it so lopsided? Why was it missing over here? So the Gemara says, because that the border between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin cut right through the Beis HaMikdosh, and no inch of the Mizbech may be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. The Masha says, the Masha explains it, that Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda, the government is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda, the kingdom. Malchus Beis David is from Shevet Yehuda, is supposed to be. Shaul HaMelech was from Shevet Binyamin. That was only intended to be a temporary appointment. It wasn't intended to be a permanent appointment because he wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. And you have to have separation, in a certain sense, separation of church and state. You don't want the government to control the Beis HaMikdosh. You don't want the Melech to control. So that's what the Masha says on Zvachim, that even one inch of the Mizbech couldn't be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. The whole Mizbech had to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So this, after the first Amma, the next 31 Ammas over here and 31 Ammas over here, the whole spot of the Mizbech, the square, belonged to Shevet Binyamin. But this part belonged to Shevet Yehuda, very strange. Therefore there was no Yisoid. So Tosfos respect Akasha, what do you mean? But we assume Yerushalayim Lo Nischal Kalishvatim. So it wasn't Yud, it wasn't Binyamin, it belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. So Tosfos says, that Gemara that says about it was missing, this was a fact that the Yisoid was missing over here. Only one Amma here, one Amma here. That's a fact. But this explanation that the Gemara gives, that this was Chalka Shal Yehuda, that's all according to the opinion that Yerushalayim was in its Chalka Lishvatim. The way we assume La Halacha, La Nis Chalka Lishvatim, must be a different, must be it was Halacha Al Moshe Mesinai, and we were never told any reason. It's a very doichik. They bought it, that's the other opinion, that it was Nischal Kal HaShvatim, then they bought back the Mokam HaMikdash. And we assume that Nischal Kal HaShvatim, all of Yerushalayim, not just the Mokam HaMikdash, nothing was Nischal Kal HaShvatim. So if nothing was Nischal Kal HaShvatim, there's no Chelka Shal Yud, there's no Chelka Shal Binyamin. So why was the Mizbech missing over here? So Tai says, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, not for that reason. It's a doichik. It's a doichik. It never says anywhere in the Gemara there was such Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So in the Soloveitchik family, they all say the same thing. Must have been from Abchaim Soloveitchik. They say Nischal Kal HaShvatim is Tzvei Dinim. They're two different halachas. One is they divided Eretz Yisrael, and this section is labeled as Nischal Kal Shal Yehuda, and that's labeled as Nischal Kal Shal Yisachar. This label Nischal Kal Shal Binyamin. So Yerushalayim is also labeled as such. But then after they divided Eretz Yisrael, not only did they label it as Nischal Kal Shal Yehuda, Nischal Kal Shal Binyamin, but they gave Shevet Yehuda ownership of that chelik, and he gave Binyamin ownership of that chelik. So when we say Yerushalayim, lo nischal kal hashvatim, we mean on the second step. Shevet Yehuda never got ownership. Shevet Binyamin never got ownership. So the Yiratikai can't charge rent because it doesn't belong to you. You have a right to live there, but it doesn't belong to you in the Rimamanis. But a Chal Hashem, when I own a sefer, it's not called chelko shel Herschel. And when I give it to you, it's called chelko shel Yishai. The chepzah doesn't change. Bailus is not a chepzah. Bailus is a relationship. I have a relationship with this, it belongs to me. Eretz Yisrael, when they, Hegdish is though, let's say Hegdish owns something, it's in the Chefzer, that this Chefzer is Hegdish. So not only Hegdish affects a change in the Chefetz, as Kedusha's Hegdish, the same is true regarding Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. This is called Chalko Shol Yisachar, this is called Chalko Shol Binyamin. So that labeling of the Chalokim, Yerushalayim is also labeled. This is Chalko Shol Yehuda, that's Chalko Shol Binyamin. Just the second step, the Dinim Mamonis was never given over to Chelik, to Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin. So that's why you can't charge any rent in the Old City. But
so
it
the
is.
Label, there is anything that it's labeled his name or this name.
So because of the labeling, you can't have even an inch of the Mizbech.
What do you have from the label? That it doesn't belong to him. It's, what does the Shem do?
It you accomplishes.
Have
you have another din. For Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah has to be done, Bechelka Shel Yehuda. Why has to belong to Shevet Yehuda? No, Chelka Shal Yehuda is a section in Eretz Yisrael. That's the area that.
They have to make the Kiddush. I'm trying to find out how much is it Nagaya to them that it's theirs.
It wasn't
theirs. They have a Chiyuv to make a mezuzah, they have a Chiyuv to make a Chometz.
No.
What does the ownership entail?
The Gemar HaKdusha, the Gemar HaKdusha of Eretz Yisrael was only completed when they made the Chalukah Lishvatim. The Rabban holds the Chalukah LeYichidim. The Rabban and the Shita Mekubetzus, in the end of Bava Basa, Perik Beis Kur. That's the Perik nobody in Yeshivas nobody ever learns. Only the Daf Yomi people learn that. It's a boring Perik. So the Rabban quoted by the Shita Mekubetzus, Abchaim Soloveitchik gave Shirim and Valojin. There they learned Daf by Daf. They started from Brachas. They ended at the end of Nida. They learned everything. So Abchaim quotes the Shita Mekubetzus B'Shem HaRabban in a safe on the Rambam. The Rabbit says that the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael was Alpi HaGoyrol, Alpi Roch HaKodesh, Alpi HaGoyrol, and the girl was speaking with Nisim and the Flores, that was only the Chalukah L'Shvatim. The Chalukah L'Yechidim was, that was just Dini Mamadis. The Chalukah L'Shvatim, that was Yisav HaHetzim. So the Gemar HaKdusha of Eretz Yisrael was only accomplished at the Kibush V'Chiluk, the Chalukah L'Shvatim. The Chalukah L'Yechidim, that was not really part of the Yisav HaHetzim. That was just Dini Mamadis. So you need to label it as Chalka Shal Yud, Chalka Shal Binyamin to complete the Kedusha Sa'aris.
So if you say all of Eretz Yisrael is like Hegdish, you can say Yerushalayim, all of Eretz Yisrael is like Hegdish, and you only have the right to charge rent if there's, because that's a part of the plus Dini Mamonos. In other words, why the balas that we have, you're saying that the balas that we have for Yerushalayim is not really a balas. It's Chalka Shal.
It's the balas of Klal Yisrael, because it belonged to Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shvatim. So Kodem Chalukah, whenever anybody dies, when I die, so I have nine children, so the estate will belong to the estate. It belongs to the two sabbais. Then when you make chalukah, then it belongs to the individual people.
Right.
So all of Eretz Yisrael originally belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. When they made the chalukah, then...
So we're saying Yerushalayim has that chalukah that goes to Binyamin and it goes to Yehuda. That's the chalukah. But we're saying they don't really have any real balus on it.
In Dini Mamonos, they never got the balus over Yerushalayim. The rest of Chelek Yehuda, Chelek Binyamin.
Why isn't all of Eretz Yisrael like that? Why isn't all... Because
with
the
chalukah,
we don't see... We did a chalukah. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Rav Soloveitchik, was opposed to the Het HaMechira. It's not HaShmita. I can't visualize if Rabbi Soloveitchik would have become the Rav HaRoshi. He wouldn't have allowed the Heter Mechira. They would fire him right away. There wouldn't be anything to discuss. So the reason why was the following. He said, the Gemara says you can't sell Yerushalayim because it's not. There's no ownership. There's no private ownership. So he said, but the rest of Eretz Yisrael was divided. When was it divided? In the days of the Shulchan Aruch. But at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, there's a concept of Kibush Mochama. The Gemara in Gittin learns that from Sukkim, that whenever there's a war, whether the war was behet or abiyisa, whether you had a right to wage the war or not. Let's say Russia invaded Hungary, whatever, even Bavera. The conquering army acquires ownership of all of the territory, a kinyan. So that kinyan applies a little bit in there, whether Jews won against the non-Jews won against the Jews, or the non-Jews won against the non-Jews. The Mark couldn't visualize the Jews fighting against the Jews. Mark just talks about non-Jews fighting against Jews and non-Jews fighting against non-Jews. So the din of Kibush Mochama is a universal din. So it doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu, a bris, but Avraham Avinu, a bris means it's always going to belong to the Jewish people. But there was never a bris with the individual members of the Klal Yisrael. So at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the individual people who owned houses and farms lost their ownership because of Kibush Mochama. So they lost their ownership, but it wasn't. The land wasn't acquired by the Babylonian armies on behalf of the Babylonian government because we were given a bris. Bris with Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yankov, Herzl, all always belonged to the Jewish people. But the bris was not with individual people, it was with Klal Yisrael. So during the 70 years of Golus Bavel, all of Herzl belonged to Klal Yisrael, like in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, before the Chalukah Soloveitchik. And then in the beginning of the Bayis Shem, there never was a Chalukah. So Moshe Soloveitchik said that today all of Herzl has a din of Yerushalayim. So he said, no one can sell any property at all.
Right. Or charge any rent.
Right. So it's not just charge any rent.
You like that.
Yeah.
We have big.
No, I own it. I don't like it.
Does anyone buy or sell apartments?
Okay. So that's.
So I'm not going to pay my Aaron.
That's not the difference.
Tax
is the government.
Has anyone buy apartments?
Highly unlikely to say such a chiddush. That's he said from his father like that. So I quoted this in my Sefer, and I wrote a whole essay explaining why I don't agree. So I didn't want to say that Rav Soloveitchik said the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So I just said there was an unguttled said, and I explained why I thought that wasn't right.
So why do you disagree?
From all the Gemaras it seems that it's not so. From all the Gemaras it seems that even during Bayis Sheni, only Yerushalayim was exceptional. The rest of Eretz, so they could sell it, they could charge rent. They can't say all the Gemara's only go on the Bayis Rishon.
Whatever issues that we have, they already had in the Bayis Sheni, and they were living in all of Eretz Yisrael, at least in some parts of the Bayis Sheni.
They were selling the way renting. Yeah.
So Alpiyah Levi Melch did not obtain a kinyan to Yerushalayim either by Kibush Yerushalayim or by paying for Yerushalayim.
The ownership was already in the days of Avraham Avinu, and it belonged to Klal Yisrael.
You shouldn't be buying apartments in the old cities.
It's not a problem to buy, it's a problem the guy who's taking the money. Is he entitled? He's ripping you off. I'll be dead. He's not allowed to take any money. That's how the Gemara says.
If you buy it, you can't sell it. If you want to knock it out.
Okay. And yeah.
What about the government? The government owned the apartments and the land in the old city. And they sold it off. The government considered the government of Israel.
So most of the land
belongs to Klal Yisrael.
Most of the land does belong to the Israel Land Authority. Most of the land
there
is Israel.
And you buy an apartment.
I mean the JNF. No, not JNF.
In other words, when I buy one apartment, when you buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, most of the land is owned by the government of Israel.
You're basically leasing it.
You're leasing it. Even though you're buying it, so to speak, but you're really, it's really a lease.
What do you mean it belongs to the government? How did the government acquire it?
JNF bought certain land, but there is some private land, very small amount, but most of those land that are managed by the Israel Land Authority, which is the government body that manages it. They are the ones who are the owners of land, and that's why it's interesting. I wonder if there was any It has to investigate.
I guarantee it's
I don't know. The church owns
a lot of property also.
And that's the exception also. Church property, a little individual property, but 90% of the land is owned by the church.
No, I wouldn't say 90, but a good part of it.
No, 90%.
Because they know when Mashiach comes, it's under ownership anyway, so they don't want to fool you.
Israel wasn't so built up. There was a lot of empty land.
That's a negative, mostly. But even in Yerushalayim, most of the land outside the Eretz Yisrael is owned by the church.
You have to look at Israel today in terms of 1938-39. There was, what was the population of all of Israel then? A few hundred thousand.
Right.
And the land was mostly empty.
That is correct. The
state came in existence and said, right, all empty land belongs to us.
Correct.
All unownership land. Why not? It's a good deal. They're making a fortune on it. It's not the only country that did it. In Hong Kong today, they make new land all owned by the government. All land that was not owned specifically by people is called government land. They sell it for fortunes of money.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunes of money.
I don't know what the halacha is. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not familiar. We should research that. Okay. Let me just say briefly a little bit more, and then we're going to get ready to go on the bus.
Hong Kong, they make the land from water.
Yeah. Okay. They dredge the land. They do.
They go from water.
Okay, continuing.
They'll go.
This morning we were learning a little bit in the Daf Yomi about bringing a carbon mincha that has chametz in it, or bringing any carbon that has dvash, honey mixed in. So this is relevant for the purpose of Kiddush. So let's discuss a little bit. In Parshas Bereishis, the Torah tells us that there was a chet of the Eitz Hadas. So it's unclear what the tree was, what grew on the tree. So Gemara has different suggestions. One opinion is that it was wheat. Today wheat grows on the ground, it's a grain. In the days of the Gan Eden, the Gemara has one opinion held that it grew on the trees. That was chita, shoyim. What do you come up to say chita? Because why is it called Eitz Hadas? Because a baby doesn't develop seichel until it starts eating cereals that are made from grain. So you see that grain gives you das, so it must be the Eitz Hadas, must have been chita. Another opinion in the Gemara is that it was the esrog. Why was it an esrog? It was a delicious tasting esrog. Our esrogim don't taste like lemons. It tasted like a tamen esrog. That are tasty. Why? Because the word esrog is an Aramaic word that means the merageg, desirable. And the pasuk in Bereishis described the Eitz Hadas as nechmad lamara. Nechmad lamara, the Targum Onkelos says the merageg lemechaze. So the Rabban Chumash writes that verb, that word, lirageg, is the same root as esrog in the ksubim, when you get married. So the din is that the nizik can collect from idis, when you collect, and the balchav collects from beinanis. So vesisha is enough if it collects from ziburis. But the three qualities of property, ABC. So the ksubim can only be collected from the poorest quality, unless the husband writes in the ksubim that I'm obligating myself to give you meitav. So we have the practice that in every ksubim you write, the husband is Meshabed, Mikol Shvar Arag, Nichse Mekinyon, and this Litchos Kol Shma. So the word Arag is from the same verb, Demerageg, Metav. That's in Rambam Chumash writes. Mikol Shvar Arag, Nichse means from Metav. So that's one opinion, that the Eitz Hadas was an Esther tree. The third opinion in Gemara, that it was a Te'eno tree. Vechetesa, that it was a fig tree. I have a friend who named his daughter Te'eno. She's a famous Tainet Rabbanit in Eretz Yisrael. I think she was the first Tainet Rabbanit. And he named the Taina by mistake because his grandmother's name was Fega. So he thought the Fega is a fig. And then he found out that Fega means Tipora. So his daughter never suffers with the name Taina.
So,
yeah, it's a little ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous, yeah.
She's also now Tet Ayan.
So the Gemara quotes one opinion was that it must have been a Taina tree, because after they sinned and they realized they realized that they were naked, so they covered themselves with Ale Taina. So the Rashi and Chumash quotes in Medrash, all the other trees didn't let them take any leaves to make clothing, only the fig allowed them, because the fig tree was the tree with which they sinned. So the fig tree let them take Alei Teina to cover themselves. And then there's another popular opinion that the Eitz Hadas must have been a grapevine. Why? Because we know that you make wine from grapes, and that brings all the tzaras in the world. People drink wine, they get shikar, they all called avaras. That's why the Vilna Goen, Mrs. Vilna Goen, told the husband that she was telling him that she bought the grapes for Shachyanu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So he said, "What do you mean? You don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah?" They have a minhag from the Vilna Goen not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, because the chet of the Eitz Hadas was on Rosh Hashanah. When we say the world was created on Rosh Hashanah, that wasn't the first day of creation, that was the sixth day of creation. That was the Friday of creation. The same day that Adam was created, he sinned from the Eitz Hadas. So we had enough tzaras from the grapes from the Eitz Hadas on Rosh Hashanah, we shouldn't repeat again. So that's the meaning from the Gro, not to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, not to look for trouble. So in Kabbalah Svarim they say that the reason why the Chachamim instituted to make Kiddush over wine is to be a takana. The chet of Eitz Hadas was on Friday, so on Shabbos we should make Kiddush on wine to show that we're doing a tikkun for the Eitz Hadas. We made wine and we could get drunk and do kol davarasa, and we don't. We make Kiddush and we act in a proper fashion. A little Eitzanis is okay, but not the sin. So the Gemara has a statement in Baba Basra that the yain for Kiddush should be yain that's kosher l'nasach agabi hamzeach. It should be roy to be menasach hamzeach. What does it come to exclude? So Tosfos says, and that's what we assume, Tosfos says, it only comes to exclude, the Gemara says, yain shehela kimochim. If you have the wine sitting around too long, so it's gonna spoil, it's not gonna smell good, it's not gonna taste so good. Yeah, and it's gonna have particles floating around in it. Sediment. So if it's a little spoiled, so just like it would be possible to use on the mizbech for nisach hayayin, so you shouldn't use it for kiddush. That's the pashuk. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that it's not so. That yayin that's possible nisach hagam in mizbech is no good for kiddush, even if it's not hela kamachim, even if it doesn't smell, even if it didn't smell. So the Rambam's opinion is from the Gaonim yayin mevushal is no good, just like yayin mevushal. You're not allowed to use to be menasach on the mizbeach, so you can't use it for kiddush either. So then the Rambam has a machlokes with the Gaonim. He quotes the two opinions. Usually the Rambam doesn't quote any machlokes. Rambam just quotes one psak halacha. And every so often, the Rambam has a machlokes. This is one of them. What's the din if you have wine and you mixed in sugar? There are a lot of wines that have sugar added. So if you mixed in sugar, if you mix in sugar in a carbon, then it wouldn't be allowed to be makrevin on the mizbech. That's what it says before Baruch Shamar. That's what everybody skips. It says ila by the Ktoris ila haynas makutu shaladash ein adam yochalam b'nei recha. It would smell wonderful. The Ktoris would even smell better. V'lama ein barvim badvash. How come we don't mix in honey? Ki atoram kos chol tzorad v'chadvash la sekter men risha v'ashem. And says nosim badvash psolo. If you mix in a little dash, you pasul it. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, he's not sure what that means, psola. It means, even if you've mocked the Ktoris, you're not yotze the mitzvah because the Ktoris is psola? Oh no, you just ruined it. You can't be mocked the Ktoris. It'll be an aver, but you didn't pasul it. If it's yevid, you go and you put the Ktoris on the Mizbeach HaKtoris, on the inside Mizbeach HaPnimi, you'll be yotze the mitzvah HaKtoris HaKtoris, but you will have violated an aver. So in effect, it's psola. You just ruined it. You can't use it, but it doesn't mean that it really psola. So this is what the Briskerov said, this is the machlokes the Rambam has with the Gaonim. If you mix in soru dvash into wine, do you say the whole wine is pasul, the whole thing is pasul, so the yain is pasul and asach agav yam mizbeach? Or do you say no, the wine doesn't become pasul, you can't pour it on the mizbeach, but we're using it for kiddush, we're not using it for the mizbeach. So since the wine per se didn't become pasul, it's not the same as yain mevushal, the yain is pasul and asach agav yam mizbeach. But if you mix in sugar, so that doesn't really passel the wine. You wouldn't be allowed to use it on the mizbech because of the lav.
Right, sugar is the same as dvash.
Dvash means Rashi and Chumash writes. Dvash means pri v'chom mesik is pri. Any sweet flavoring that comes from a fruit is called dvash. So in kedem wine, the balabas from kedem has a chiddush. Mm-hmm. Maybe he consulted some rabbanim. I'm not familiar.
So it doesn't come from a pri. Well, it comes from sugar.
Okay, so it's also. It's also.
No, it's not. If it's Masikos pre.
No, I don't think it means a pre bar pre weights. Anything that grows from the ground. Okay. Any Masikos that grows from the ground. Yeah, yeah.
Beets, yeah.
So, Mr. What's his name?
Herzog.
Herzog has an original chiddush. He takes sugar from other wines. He derives sugar from wine. So he said, if you mix one wine with another wine, that's not a violation of a dvash.
So he, the natural,
so he takes the sugar, he gets them to take the sugar out of other wines, and he mixes into this one.
And then they can write, no sugar added, and it's much sweeter than other sugars.
No, it says sugar added, but it doesn't mean sugar from a sugar cane.
Sometimes it says no sugar added.
Wine sugar.
You can do a wine syrup from the real thick stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that's
just like I bought a bottle yesterday. It's 65% Cabernet, 20% Merlot, whatever. He has 85% Concord grape, 10%
other grapes.
Wine syrup.
Okay. So that's Mr. Herzog's Chiddush, that he doesn't think that that's a violation of pre. Okay.
What's the head to use?
I have a check for you.
We follow Tosfos.